Chapter 17. The door to the assemblage chamber slid open, and a small flood of beings and droids began pouring out into the grand corridor, chattering among themselves in the usual spectrum of different languages. Glancing at Winter as the two of them walked toward the crowd, Leia nodded. It was showtime.
"Anything else come in that I should know about?" she asked as they passed along the edge of the flow.
"There was an unusual follow-up to the Pantolomin report," Winter said, her eyes flicking casually around the crowd. "A bounty hunter there claims to have penetrated the Imperial shipyards at Ord Tracy and is offering to sell us information about their new building program."
"I've dealt with my share of bounty hunters," Leia said, trying not to look around the crowd as they passed through it. Winter was watching, and with her perfect memory, she would remember everyone who was close enough to overhear the conversation.
"What makes Colonel Darlin think we can trust him?"
"He's not sure we can," Winter said. "The smuggler offered what he said was a free sample. The information that there are 3 Imperial Star Destroyers within a month of completion out there. Colonel Darlin said Wing Commander Harleys is drawing up a plan to confirm that."
They were out of the Grand Corridor now, following along with the handful of beings who hadn't yet split off toward offices or other conference rooms.
"Sounds dangerous," Leia said, dutifully running their prepared script out to the end. "I hope he's not just going to do a flyby."
"The report didn't give any details," Winter said. "But there was an addendum asking about the possibility of borrowing a freighter from someone who does business with the Empire."
The last of the officials turned off into a cross corridor, leaving them alone in the hallway, with an assortment of techs, assistants, admin personnel, and other low-ranking members of the New Republic government. Leia threw a quick glance at each, decided there was no point in going through another script for their benefit. Looking at Winter, she nodded again, and together the two women headed toward the turbolifts. They needed some place where Ghent could set up shop without word or even rumors of the project leaking out, and a search of the palace's original blueprints had found them the ideal spot. It was an old backup power cell room, closed down and sealed years earlier, wedged in between the Sector Ordnance/Supply and Starfighter Command offices down on the command floor. Leia had cut a new entrance from a service corridor with her lightsaber. Bel Iblis had helped them run power cables and data lines, and Ghent had set up his decrypting program. They had everything they needed, except results. Ghent was sitting in the room's single chair when they arrived, staring dreamily off into space with his feet propped up on the edge of his decryptor desk. They were both inside, and Winter had closed the door before he even noticed their presence.
"Oh, hi,"
he said, dropping his feet to the floor with a muffled thud.
"Not so loud, please,"
Leia reminded him, wincing. The officers working on the other sides of the thin walls would probably ascribe any stray noises to the adjacent offices, but then again, they might not.
"Has General Bel Iblis brought the latest transmission in yet?"
she asked.
"Yeah, about an hour ago,"
Ghent nodded, whispering almost inaudibly now.
"I just finished slicing them."
He tapped a key, and a series of decrypted messages came up on the display. Leia stepped up behind his chair, reading down them. Details of upcoming military deployments, what seemed to be verbatim transcriptions of high-level diplomatic conversations, tidbits of idle palace gossip. As always, Delta Source had covered the whole range, from the significant to the trivial.
"There's one of ours,"
Winter said, touching a spot on the display. Leia read the item, an unconfirmed intelligence report from the BIPFASH system, suggesting that the Chimera and its support ships had been spotted near Anchoron. That was one of theirs, all right.
"How many heard that one?"
she asked Winter.
"Only 47,
Winter told her, already busy with Ghent's datapad.
"It was just before 3 yesterday afternoon, during the second assemblage session, and the grand corridor was fairly empty."
Leia nodded and turned back to the display. By the time Winter had finished her list, she'd identified 2 more of their decoy messages. By the time Winter had finished those, she'd found another 5.
Looks like that's it,
she said, as Winter handed Gent her first 3 lists and got to work on the others.
Let's go ahead and run these through your sifter.
Okay,
Gent said, throwing one last look of awe at Winter before turning back to his console.
3 days into this scheme, he still hadn't gotten over the way she could remember every single detail of 50 separate 1-minute conversations.
Okay, let's see. Correlations. Okay, we're down to 127 possibilities. Mostly techs and admin types, looks like. Some off-world diplomats, too.
Leia shook her head.
None of those are likely to have access to all this information,
she said, waving at the decrypt display.
It has to be someone considerably higher up the command structure.
Wait a minute,
Gent interrupted, raising a finger.
You want a big fish? You got one. Counselor Sean Tev of Sullust.
Leia frowned at the display.
That's impossible. He was one of the earliest leaders in the Rebel Alliance. In fact, I think he was the one who brought Nien Nunba and his private raiding squad over to us after the Empire forced them out of Sullust system.
Gent shrugged.
I don't know anything about that. All I know is that he heard all 15 of those little teasers that wound up on Delta Source's transmitter.
It can't be Counselor Tev.
Winter spoke up absently, still working at the datapad.
He wasn't present during any of these last 6 conversations.
Maybe one of his aides heard it?
Gent offered.
But he didn't have to be there personally.
Winter shook her head.
No. One of his aides was present, but only for one of these conversations. More importantly, Counselor Tev was present for 2 conversations the day before yesterday that Delta Source didn't transmit. 9:15 in the morning and 2:48 in the afternoon.
Gent keyed up the relevant lists.
You're right,
he confirmed.
Didn't think about checking things that direction.
Guess I'd better work up a better sifter program.
Behind Leia, their makeshift door swung open, and she turned to see Bel Iblis come in.
Thought I'd find you here,
he nodded to Leia.
We're about ready to give the Stardust plan its first try, if you want to come and watch.
The latest scheme to locate the swarm of cloaked asteroids Thrawn had left in orbit around Coruscant.
Yes, I do,
Leia said.
Winter, I'll be in the war room when you're finished here.
Yes, Your Highness.
Leia and Bel Iblis left the room and headed single file down the service corridor.
Find anything yet?
The general asked over his shoulder.
Winter's still running yesterday's list,
Leia told him.
So far, we've got around 130 possibilities.
Bel Iblis nodded.
Considering how many of us there are working in the palace, I'd say that qualifies as progress.
Maybe,
she hesitated.
It's occurred to me that this scheme will only work if Delta Source is a single person. If it's a whole group, we may not be able to weed them out this way.
Perhaps,
Bel Iblis agreed.
But I have a hard time believing we could have that many traitors here. Matter of fact, I still have trouble believing we have even one. I've always thought that Delta Source might be some kind of exotic recording system. Something security simply hasn't been able to locate yet.
I've watched them do counterintelligence sweeps,
Leia said.
I can't think of how they could possibly have missed anything.
Unfortunately, neither can I.
They arrived in the war room to find General Ryken and Admiral Drayson standing behind the main command console.
Princess,
Ryken greeted her gravely.
You're just in time.
Leia looked up at the master visual. An old transport had left the group of ships standing guard in far orbit and was making its careful way down toward the planet.
How far in is it going to come?
Leia asked.
We're going to start just above the planetary shield, Counselor,
Drayson told her.
The post-battle analysis indicates that most of the cloaked asteroids probably wound up in low orbit.
Leia nodded. And since those would be the ones most likely to sneak through if they opened the shield, it made all the more sense to start there. Slowly, moving with the tentative awkwardness of a ship under remote control, the transport came closer in.
All right, Drayson said. Transport 1 control. Cut drive and prepare to dump on my command. Ready? Dump!
For a moment, nothing happened.
Then, abruptly, a cloud of brilliant dust began to billow from the aft end of the transport, swirling around lazily in the ship's wake. Keep it coming, Drayson said. Harrier, stand by negative ion beams.
All dust is clear of the transport, Admiral,
one of the officers reported.
Transport one control, pull her away,
Drayson ordered.
But slowly,
Bell Iblis murmured.
We don't want to carve exhaust grooves through the dust.
Drayson threw an annoyed look back at him.
Take it nice and slow, he said grudgingly. Do we have any readings yet?
Coming in very strong, sir,
the officer at the sensor console reported.
Between 0.93 and 9.8 reflection on all bands.
Good, Drayson nodded. Keep a sharp eye on it. Harrier?
Harrier reports ready, sir,
another officer confirmed.
Fire negative ion beam, Drayson ordered. Lowest intensity. Let's see how this works.
Leia peered up at the visual. The shimmering dust particles were beginning to clump together as ions from the departing transport's drive created random electrostatic charges throughout the cloud. Out of the corner of her eye, she saw the hazy line of an ion beam appear on the master tactical display and sweep across the cloud, charging all the dust particles with the same polarity so that they would repel each other. And suddenly, the coalescing dust cloud was expanding again, spreading out across the visual display like the opening of some exotic flower.
Cease fire, Drayson said. Let's see if that does it.
For a long minute, the flower continued to open, and Leia found herself staring intently at the hazy glitter. Unreasonably, of course. Given how much space there was out there, it was highly unlikely that this first dump would happen to be in the path of any of the orbiting asteroids. And even if it was, there still would be nothing for her to see on the visual. Except at the moment before its collapse, the cloaking shield seemed to twist light and sensor beams perfectly around itself, which meant there would be no dark spot cutting visibly through the dust.
Cloud's starting to break up, Admiral,
the sensor officer reported.
Dissipation ratio is up to 12.
Solar wind's catching it,
Riken muttered.
As expected, Drayson reminded him. Transport 2 control. Go ahead and launch.
A second transport emerged from among the orbiting ships and headed down toward the surface.
This is definitely the slow way to do this,
Bell Iblis commented quietly.
Agreed, Riken said. I wish they hadn't lost that CGT array of yours at Svivrin. They could sure have used it here.
Leia nodded. Crystal grav field traps, originally designed to zoom in on the mass of sensor-stealthed ships from thousands of kilometers away, would be ideal for this job.
I thought intelligence had a lead on another one.
They've got leads on 3, Riken said. Problem is, they're all in Imperial space.
I'm still not convinced the CGT would do us all that much good here,
Bell Iblis said.
This close in, I suspect the Coruscant's gravity would swamp any readings we got from the asteroids.
It would be tricky, no doubt about that,
Riken agreed.
But I think it's our best chance.
They fell silent, as on the visual, the second transport reached its target zone and repeated the procedure of the first. Again, nothing.
That solar wind is going to be a real nuisance,
Bell Iblis commented, as the third transport headed out.
We may want to consider going with larger dust particles on the next batch.
Or shifting operations to the night side,
Riken suggested.
That would at least cut back the effect.
Turbulence!
The sensor officer barked.
Vector 117, bearing 492!
There was a mad scramble for the sensor console. At the very edge of the still-expanding second dust cloud, a hazy orange line had appeared, marking the turbulence created by the invisible asteroid's passage.
Get a track on it, Drayson ordered.
Harrier, fire at will!
On the visual, red lines lanced out as the Dreadnought's turbolasers began to sweep across the projected path. Leia watched the visual, hands gripping the sensor officer's chair back. And suddenly, there it was, a misshapen lump of rock. drifting slowly across the stars.
Ceasefire! Drayson ordered. Well done, gentlemen. All right, Allegiant. It's your turn. Get your tech crew out there and...
He broke off. On the visual, a mesh of thin lines had appeared crisscrossing the dark bulk of the asteroid. For a brief moment, they flared brilliantly, then faded away.
Belay that order, Allegiant, Drayson growled. Looks like the Grand Admiral doesn't want anyone else getting a look at his little toys.
At least we found one of them, Leia said. That's something.
Right, Riken said dryly. Leaves just under 300 to go.
Leia nodded again and started to turn away. This was going to take a while, and she might as well get back to Winter and Ghent.
Collision! The sensor officer snapped.
She twisted back. On the visual, the third transport was spinning wildly off course, its stern crushed and on fire, its cargo of dust spraying out in all directions.
Can you get a track?
Drayson demanded. The officer's hands were skating across his board.
Negative. Insufficient data. All I can do is a probability cone.
I'll take it, Drayson said. All ships open fire. Full pattern bombardment. Target cone as indicated.
The cone had appeared on the tactical, and from the distant fleet, turbolaser fire began to appear.
Open the cone to 50% probability, Drayson ordered. Battle stations, you take that outer cone. I want that target found.
The encouragement was unnecessary. The space above Coruscant had become a firestorm, with turbolaser blasts and proton torpedoes cutting through the marked probability cone. The target zone stretched and expanded as the computers calculated the invisible asteroid's possible paths, the ships and battle stations shifting aim in response. But there was nothing there. And after a few minutes, Drayson finally conceded defeat.
All units cease fire, he said,
his voice tired.
There's no more point. We've lost it.
There didn't seem to be anything else to be said. In silence, they stood and watched as the crippled transport, far out of range of the fleet's tractor beams, spun slowly toward the planetary shield and its impending death. Its crushed stern skimmed the shield, and the fire of burning drive gases was joined by the sharp blue-white edge of shattered atomic bonds. A muffled flash as the stern broke away. A brighter flash as the bow hit the shield. Scatterings of dark debris against the flame as the hull began to break up. And with a final spattering of diffuse fire, it was gone. Leia watched the last flickers fade away, running through her Jedi calming exercises and forcing the anger from her mind. Allowing herself the luxury of hating Thrawn for doing this to them would only fog her own intellect. Worse, such hatred would be a perilous step toward the dark side. There was a breath of movement at her shoulder, and she turned to see Winter at her side. The other woman was gazing up at the visual, a look of ancient pain deep in her eyes.
It's all right, Leia assured her. There wasn't anyone aboard.
I know,
Winter murmured.
I was thinking about another transport I saw go down like that over Zikween. A passenger transport.
She took a deep breath, and Leia could see the conscious effort as she put her always vivid past away from her.
I'd like to speak with you, Your Highness, whenever you're finished here.
Leia reached out past Winter's carefully neutral expression and touched her sense. Whatever the news was, it wasn't good.
I'll come now, she said.
They left the war room and circled back past the turbolifts to their service corridor and their secret decrypt room. And the news was indeed not good.
This can't be,
Leia said, shaking her head as she reread Ghent's analysis.
We know there's a leak in the palace.
I've checked it backwards, forwards, and from the inside out, Ghent said. It comes up the same every time. Feed in everyone who heard and didn't hear the stuff Delta Source sent out. Feed in everyone who heard or didn't hear the stuff Delta Source didn't send out, and you come out with the same answer every time. A straight, flat zero.
Leia keyed the datapad for a replay and watched as the list of names dwindled with each sifting until it was gone.
Then Delta Source has to be more than one person, she said.
I already ran that,
Gent said, waving his hands helplessly.
It doesn't work either. You wind up having to have at least 15 people. Your security here can't be that bad.
Then he's picking and choosing what he transmits, sending some of what he hears, but not all of it.
Gent scratched at his cheek.
I suppose that could be it, he said reluctantly. I don't know, though. You look at some of the really stupid stuff he sent. I mean, there was one in that last transmission that was nothing but a couple of Arcona talking about what one of them was going to name her hatchlings. Either this guy doesn't remember too good, or else he's got a really weird priority list.
The door opened, and Leia turned as Bell Iblis stepped in.
I saw you leave, the general said. Have you found something?
Wordlessly, Leia handed him the datapad. Bell Iblis glanced over it, then read it through more carefully.
Interesting, he said at last. Either the analysis is wrong, or Winter's memory is starting to fail her, or Delta Source is onto us.
How do you figure that?
Leia asked.
Because he's clearly no longer transmitting everything he hears, Bell Iblis said. Something must have aroused his suspicions.
Leia thought back to all those staged conversations.
No,
she said slowly.
I don't believe it. I never picked up even a hint of malice or suspicion.
Bell Iblis shrugged.
The alternative is to believe we have a whole spy nest here. Wait a minute, though. This isn't quite as bad as it sounds. If we assume he didn't catch on right away, we should still be able to use the data from the first 2 days to cut the suspect list down to a manageable number.
Leia felt her stomach tighten.
Garm, we're talking about over 100 trusted members of the New Republic here. We can't go around accusing that many people of treason. Counselor Felia's accusations against Admiral Akbar were bad enough. This would be orders of magnitude worse.
I know that, Leia, Bell Iblis said firmly. But we can't let the Empire continue to listen in on our secrets. Offer me an alternative and I'll take it.
Leia bit at her lip, her mind racing.
What about that comment you made on the way to the war room?
She asked.
You said you thought Delta Source might be nothing but an exotic recording system. If it is, it's somewhere in the Grand Corridor,
Winter said before Bell Iblis could answer.
That's where all the conversations that were transmitted took place.
Are you sure?
Bell Iblis frowned.
Absolutely, Winter said. Everyone. That's it then,
Leia said, feeling the first stirrings of excitement.
Somehow, someone's planted a recording system in the Grand Corridor.
Don't get excited,
Bell Iblis cautioned.
I know it sounds good, but it's not that easy. Microphone systems have certain well-defined characteristics, all of which are quite well known and can be readily picked up by a competent counterintelligence sweep.
Unless it goes dormant when counterintelligence comes by,
Gent suggested.
I've seen systems do that.
Bell Iblis shook his head.
But then you're talking about something with at least minimal decision-making capabilities. Anything that close to droid-level intelligence would...
Hey!
Gent interrupted excitedly.
That's it! Delta Source isn't a person! It's a droid!
Leia looked at Bell Iblis.
Is that possible?
I don't know,
the general said slowly.
Implanting secondary espionage programming in a droid is certainly feasible. Problem is how to get that programming in past the palace's usual security procedures, and then avoiding the counterintelligence sweeps.
It would have to be a droid that has a good reason to hang around the Grand Corridor,
Leia said, trying to think it through.
But who can also leave without attracting notice whenever a sweep gets underway?
And given the sort of high-level traffic that passes through the Grand Corridor, those sweeps are pretty frequent,
Bell Iblis agreed.
Gent, can you get into security records and pull a list of sweep times over the past 3 or 4 days?
Sure, the kid shrugged. Probably take me a couple of hours, though. Unless you don't care if they spot me.
Bell Iblis looked at Leia.
What do you think?
We certainly don't want him to get caught, Leia said. On the other hand, we don't want to give Delta Source free rein up the palace any longer than we have to. Your Highness?
Winter asked.
Pardon me, but it seems to me that if the sweeps are that frequent, All we need to do is watch the Grand Corridor until one gets underway, and then see which droids leave.
It's worth a try, Belliblis said. Gint, you get started on security. Leia, Winter, let's go.
They're coming,
Winter's voice said softly from the comlink nestled in Leia's palm.
You're sure they're palace security?
Belliblis's voice said.
Yes,
Winter said.
I've seen Colonel Bremen giving them orders, and they have droids and equipment with them.
Sounds like this is it, Leia murmured, surreptitiously raising her hand near her mouth and hoping the three Kubas sitting across the lounge-slash-conversation ring from her wouldn't notice the odd behavior.
Watch carefully.
There were acknowledging murmurs from both of them. Lowering her hand back to her lap, Leia looked around. This was it, all right. Possibly the clearest shot at Delta Source they were likely to get. With an assemblage meeting just letting out and a council meeting about to start, the Grand Corridor was crowded with high-ranking officials. With officials, their aides and assistants, and their droids. On one level, Leia had always known how common droids were in the Imperial Palace. On another level, as she was rapidly coming to realize, she had no idea how many of them there actually were. There were quite a few 3PO protocol droids visible from where she sat, most of them accompanying groups of off-world diplomats, but some also in the entourages of various palace officials. Hovering over the crowd on repulsor lifts, a set of insectoid SPD maintenance droids were systematically cleaning the carvings and cut-glass windows that alternated along the walls. A line of MSE droids scuttled past along the far wall, delivering messages too complex for comm transmissions or too sensitive for direct data transfer, and trying hard not to get stepped on. At the next of the greenish-purple chala trees down the line, occasionally visible through the crowd, an MN2E maintenance droid was carefully pruning away dead leaves. Which one of them, she wondered, had the Empire turned into a spy?
They're starting,
Winter reported quietly.
Lining up across the corridor.
There was a sudden rustle of sound from the comlink, as if Winter had put her hand across the microphone. Another series of muffled sounds, and Leia was wondering if she could go and investigate when a man's voice came on.
Counselor Organa Solo.
Yes, she said cautiously. Who is this?
Lieutenant Machel Kendi, Counselor. Palace Security. Are you aware that a third person is tapping into your comlink signal?
It's not a tap, Lieutenant, Leia assured him. We were holding a three-way discussion with General Belliblis.
I see,
Kendi said, sounding a little disappointed. Probably thought he'd stumbled onto Delta Source.
I'll have to ask you to suspend your conversation for a few minutes, Counselor. We're about to do a sweep of the Grand Corridor, and we can't have any stray comlink transmissions in the area.
I understand, Leia said. We'll wait until you're finished.
She shut off the comlink and replaced it in her belt, her heart beginning to thud in her ears. Twisting casually around in her seat, she made sure she could see the entire end of the Grand Corridor. If there was an espionage droid present, he'd be shuffling this direction as soon as he noticed the sweep team coming from the other end. Overhead, the hovering cleaning droids had been joined by a new set of SPDs, moving down the corridor as they methodically checked the upper walls and convoluted contours of the vaulted ceiling for any microphones or recording systems that might have somehow been planted there since the last sweep. Directly beneath them, Leia could see Lieutenant Kendi and his squad walking through the milling diplomats in a military straight line stretched across the corridor and watching the displays of their shoulder-slung detectors. The line reached her lounge area, past it, and continued without incident to the end of the corridor. There the squad waited, letting the SPD droids and a group of wall-hugging MSEs finish their part of the sweep and catch up. Reformed again, the entire group disappeared down the hallway toward the inner council offices. And that was that. The entire Grand Corridor had been swept, and had obviously come up negative. And not a single droid had scurried out ahead of the sweep. Something off to the side caught her eye, but it was just the MN2E maintenance droid she'd noticed earlier, rolling up to the chala tree that sprouted out of the floor beside her conversation ring. Clucking softly to itself, the droid began poking delicate feelers through the branches, hunting for dead or dying leaves. Dead or dying. Rather like their theory. With a sigh, she pulled out her comlink.
Winter, Garm.
Here, Your Highness.
Winter's voice came promptly.
So am I,
Beliblis added.
What happened?
Leia shook her head.
Absolutely nothing, she told them. As far as I could tell, none of the droids even twitched.
There was a short pause.
I see,
Beliblis said at last.
Well, it may just be that our droid doesn't happen to be here today. What we need to do is send Winter back to Ghent and have her add droids into the list.
What do you think, Winter?
Leia asked.
I can try. The problem would be identifying specific droids. Externally, one 3PO protocol droid looks basically like any other.
We'll take whatever you can get,
Beliblis said.
It's here, though. Somewhere close by. I can feel it.
Leia held her breath, stretching out with her Jedi senses. She didn't have Beliblis's fine-honed warrior's intuition, nor did she have Luke's far deeper Jedi skill. But she could sense it too. Something about the Grand Corridor.
I think you're right,
she told Beliblis.
Winter, you'd better head down and get busy on this.
Certainly, Your Highness.
I'll come with you, Winter,
Beliblis volunteered.
I want to see what's happening with the Stardust plan.
Leia shut off the comlink and leaned back in her seat, fatigue and discouragement seeping into her mind despite her best efforts to hold it back.
It had seemed like such a good idea, using Ghent's decrypt to try to identify Delta Source. But so far, every lead had simply melted away from in front of them. And time was running out. Even if they were able to keep Ghent's work a secret, which was by no means certain, each of these failed gambits simply brought them closer to the inevitable day when Delta Source would finally notice all the activity and shut down. And when that happened, their last chance to identify the Imperial spy in their midst would be gone. And that would be a disaster. Not because of the leak itself. Imperial intelligence had been stealing information since the Rebel Alliance was first formed, and they'd managed to live through it. What was infinitely more dangerous to the New Republic was the deepening aura of suspicion and distrust that Delta Source's mere existence had already spread through the palace. Counselor Phalia's discredited accusations against Admiral Ackbar had already shown what such distrust could do to the delicate multi-species coalition that made up the New Republic. If that leadership was found to contain a genuine Imperial agent... Across the conversation ring, the three Kubas got to their feet and headed away, circling around behind the Chala tree and the MN2E droid working alongside it and disappearing into the traffic flow down the corridor. Leia found herself staring at the droid, watching as it eased a manipulator arm carefully through the branches toward a small cluster of dead leaves, clucking softly to itself all the while. She had a brief run-in with an Imperial espionage droid on the Nogri home planet of Honegger. A run-in which could have spelled disaster for her and genocide for the remnants of the Nogri race. If Beliblis was right, if Delta Source was, in fact, merely a droid and not a traitor... But it didn't really help. The Empire simply could not have infiltrated an espionage droid into the palace without the collaboration of one or more of the beings here. Security invariably did a complete screening of every droid that came into the palace, whether on a permanent or temporary basis, and they knew exactly what to look for. Hidden secondary espionage programming would show up like a burst of pale red against the subtle background pattern of that Chala tree. Leia frowned, staring at the tree as her chain of thought jolted to a halt. Another small burst of red appeared on the slender trunk as she watched, sending a pale red ring rippling outward and around the trunk until it faded into the quiet purple background turmoil. Another flicker followed, and another, chasing each other around the trunk like ripples from a dripping waterline. All of them more or less the same size, all of them originating from the same place on the trunk. And each of them exactly in time with one of the clucking noises
from the MN2E droid. And suddenly then, it hit her, like a violent wave of icy water. Fumbling at her belt with suddenly trembling fingers, she keered for the central operator.
"This is Counselor Organa Solo," she identified herself. "Get me Colonel Bremen in security. Tell him I've found Delta Source."
They had to dig nearly 8 meters down before they found it. A long, fat, age-tarnished tube, half buried in the side of the Chala tree's taproot, with 1,000 slender sampling leads feeding into one end and a direct transmission fiber snaking out the other. Even then, it took another hour and the preliminary report before Bremen himself was finally convinced.
"The techs say it's like nothing they've ever seen before,"
the security chief told Leia, Bail Iblis, and Mon Mothma, as they stood on the scattered dirt around the uprooted Chala tree.
"But apparently it's reasonably straightforward. Any pressure on the Chala tree's trunk, including the pressure created by sound waves, sets off small chemical changes in the inner layers of bark."
"Which is what creates the shifting colors and patterns?"
Mon Mothma asked.
"Right."
Bremen nodded, wincing slightly.
"Obvious in hindsight, really. The pattern changes are far too fast to be anything but biochemical in origin. Anyway, those implanted tubes running up into the trunk continuously sample the chemicals and shunt the information back down to the module on the taproot. The module takes the chemical data, turns it back into pressure data, and from there back into speech. Some other module, maybe farther down the taproot, sorts out the conversations and gets the whole thing ready for encrypting and transmission. That's all there is to it.
An organic microphone."
Bail Iblis nodded.
"With no electronics anywhere in sight for a counterintelligence sweep to pick up."
"A whole series of organic microphones,"
Bremen corrected, glancing significantly at the twin rows of trees lining the grand corridor.
"We'll get rid of them right away."
"Such a brilliant plan,"
Mon Mothma mused.
"And so very like the Emperor. I'd always wondered how he obtained some of the information he used against us in the Senate."
She shook her head.
"Even after his death, it seems, his hand can move against us."
"Well, this part's about to be stilled anyway,"
Bail Iblis said.
"Let's get a team up here, Colonel, and dig up some trees."